It's the most wonderful time of the year. It is officially March. This is March mode. He is March legend, Ben Brust. I'm ESPN Wisconsin's Alex Strofe here to talk Badgers, March Madness, and all the in-betweens through the end of the NCAA tournament. Hello, Benjamin.
God bless your soul. Literally just being destroyed on the internet the last 3 days, and it's Monday morning at 8:40 as we're currently speaking. You're like, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes, it is. It's March, man. I love this time of the year. I love the NCAA tournament. I love college basketball, and it was a huge weekend in college basketball. We will get
and to- when people think ESPN Wisconsin college basketball, they think Alex Strofe.
Without a doubt. Yeah. We start with ESPN Wisconsin Coaches Week. We end with March Mode with Ben Brust. It's a perfect.
You just didn't have to. You didn't have to drive all the way up to Green Bay to get me.
That's true. I just had to walk to work. And here we are, ready to talk some college hoops. We will do this twice a week through the end of the NCAA tournament. Starting today with what was a wacky week for your Wisconsin Badgers. A big win Saturday at Washington. They win by 17, led by unlikely hero Braden Carrington. 32 points at career high for him. But that's coming off of a 14-point loss at Oregon. So kind of a wacky West Coast road trip for Wisconsin.
This is unfortunately no different than a lot of what's gone on this season, right? You get really high, really, really high. You're like, we are untouchable. We beat Michigan on the road. We beat Illinois on the road. We beat Michigan State on the road. Drop a game. That's okay. The thing that I will continue to talk about is, as I look at projections for the NCAA tournament, because I look at this Wisconsin Badger basketball season in the lens, I think it's fair, because unfortunately, all of the great games that we witnessed, even Braden Carrington's career high, yeah, 9 threes, beating Bronson Koenig's 8, I believe, against Virginia Tech in the tournament, like a first or second round game. Awesome, awesome game, awesome story. Kick the crap out of a team after coming back after that horrible loss against Oregon. All of the great moments, beating Illinois, beating Michigan State, who knows what happens with Purdue coming up on the road, it doesn't mean as much. Dare I say, it doesn't mean anything at all if they don't get to a second weekend of the NCAA tournament. So when I look at the lens of everything they're doing, I see them sitting at a 7 seed most likely right now. And you don't beat you beat Oregon, as you saw the wackiness of college basketball this past weekend, Purdue losing, right? And then the main seed sort of dominating the games that they were playing. Some of them were quality opponents. It's like, there's going to be a lot of teams where the Badgers are at. You need to be different than those teams. When I say a lot of teams where the Badgers are at, they're doing the same thing as the Badgers, winning a game, losing a game. They have the talent to beat all of those teams that they had. And now we're getting to a point where obviously there's 2 games left in the Big Ten schedule. You have Purdue and you have Maryland. I think 1-1 is fine. It's not going to change your seed. A 7 seed's great, but I think back to Thanksgiving. I think back to Fiserv Forum. I think back to those type games where if you were able to find a way to win those, you're a 6 seed locked in, you're a 5 seed. Who knows, you know? Like, and I think it's hard. You can't look back, but I think it was probably important for this team from a maturation standpoint. Nick Boyd and John Blackwell are both very talented guards. I don't think, and I think a lot of people felt this, that they really knew how to play together. And I don't think they play super well together, if that makes sense, because they're pretty much both ball dominant guards, yeah, which is fine. I think what I've noticed is when Boyd's cooking, Blackwell will be like, here you go, go cook. Whereas it was kind of a battle, like, well, I can cook too, right? And so I think even Braden Carrington's game, Blackwell didn't have a great game. He didn't shoot that many shots either. So I think the understanding of roles, understanding what it takes to win games, I think is really important, that you're starting to feel like this team has it figured out in terms of everyone's role is pretty much getting defined. And that's hard to do in this transfer portal era. When you're trying to bring in a bunch of guys and say, this is how we're going to win, you don't have that figured out in the first 2-3 months of the season. I think they have it figured out despite some of those losses. There's going to be up and downs. But I would rather have a team heading into March knowing that we beat Michigan, we beat Illinois on the road. Yeah. Wait till we get to a neutral site. No one's going to want to see our 2 guards and be like, whew, I can't wait to play them.
So all that said, the inconsistency of this year's Badger team does not worry you come tournament time.
It does not bother me right now at all, no. Because what you got to think about is matchups as well. That's like the biggest thing for me when I look at like who is their second game going to be against, right? If you're an 8-9 seed, which they were looking, you want to play Florida right now? I wouldn't want to play Florida right now. They wouldn't be on the same side as Michigan. They would put the Badgers as an 8-9 against Michigan if they were. But now they're in that 7 seed. You're looking at a 2 seed. And I think they can beat a lot of these 2 seeds. Now, you don't want to run into, in my opinion, like an Iowa State who really guards, is, you know, on the perimeter and can really match up well against Boyd and Blackwell. Mm-hmm. So for me, it is continue to just figure out your roles, figure out your confidence, and then see where the chips fall. Because this team, even if it was Iowa State, I wouldn't say they can't beat them, but I wouldn't want to play like a top five defensive efficiency team in the NCAA tournament, knowing that the Badgers offensively. So this is a fun stat. On January 3rd, in KenPom and Bart Torvik, all of these analytical sites, the Badgers were outside of the top 40.
Oh, wow.
Of offensive and defensive efficiency combined. They were 52nd. As it stands right now, they're 23rd.
Wow.
That is a 29-spot jump from January 3rd. That's why when my eyes are telling me I shouldn't be worried, I agree when I see how much they've improved analytically and obviously with those big wins throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, certainly the last 2 months, obviously it's March 2nd as we record, things have turned around, right? They opened from that date. January 3rd is when they lost to Purdue. They won six in a row or five in a row right after that. Seven of their next eight that lost to USC was in there, which was gross. But
it was gross, but I mean, if you're going to win as many games as he did, you don't want to drop one, especially at home. But at least USC wasn't like Oregon, who had three wins that you lost. That was on the road, but they didn't lose to like Penn State at home. They took care of those really bad teams for the most part.
USC's leading scorer. Did you see this story?
He gone.
Can't sit in the stands courtside during a game, apparently. So there you go. But some of these losses are just confusing to me. Right? Like there's a good loss in Nebraska earlier in the year. There's a good loss. We mentioned the Purdue loss.
Oh, I don't think there's such thing as good loss.
You lose to a good team that maybe you're not expected to beat every time.
No. But the way they lost to Nebraska and Purdue.
Smoked by Nebraska.
And
lost pretty bad to Purdue.
Purdue was bad.
Yeah.
That was we got to figure out who we are because our talent is there and we got to figure out how we're going to win games.
And obviously they did that after that, but that loss to USC at home was a 2-point loss at the end of January. They go to Indiana, that overtime loss. We can talk about officiating all we want. I mean, that certainly played a role in that game on February 7th. They lose big at Ohio State 2 weeks ago, and then they lose last week at Oregon. These are not teams you should be losing to, which is what confuses me about the inconsistencies, because there's so many good wins on this team's schedule as well.
Yeah, but like Ohio State, I hate to do it. Everyone said it. They ran into him at the most desperate time of Ohio State season, coming off of a big week.
State could be a tournament team.
You go play at Ohio State, and there was some crazy. Wow, man, I'm blanking on his name. Whoever it was 2-for-25 from three heading into the Badgers game and went off for Ohio State. So like there's going
Royal,
to be
Royal,
yeah. Royal Duval, very similar, obviously. And I was just like, yeah, like it's like we had Austin Rapp who was sick and kind of got hurt a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And then he came out and hit some massive shots against Illinois. So I it all comes back around in a certain way. And as long as I saw that stretch where they won, you know, 7 of 8, I'm like, all right, there's something here. They're beating really good teams. Do you want to see them? Do I want to stay up at 10 o'clock at night in the middle of the weekday and be up 33-30, not feeling great about 33-30 against Oregon at halftime and being like,
that's when I fell asleep.
Yes. And I stayed up for it. And I just kind of wanted to see how they would respond, because that's a game in which, you know, you're supposed to win. You're 6-point favorites, right? But you're feeling confident. You're traveling all the way out west. How do you respond to that? Well, they didn't, but they bounced back and absolutely beat the brakes off of Washington, who may not be on paper one of the best teams in the Big Ten, but they can score. They're okay at home. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, Braden Carrington's hitting 9 threes and Boyd's having a good game and onwards you go. So I would say if they had dropped both of those, I would be like, all right, well, here's
a different conversation.
Here's like the really, really inconsistent Badgers. I would say they're inconsistent, but at the same time, they're not a perfect team. I still like there. We could go through matchups that I don't want to see and who scares me and why they scare me. But ultimately, I think Blackwell's going to break out again soon on a consistent basis because he's too good of a player to be as consistent as he has been, I would say, over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, we will see. Big Ten tournament starts next week, and that'll certainly give us a good idea of what this team exactly is as we get deep into March. But two regular season games left. You mentioned it a little bit earlier. Senior Day coming up Wednesday against Maryland at the Kohl Center, and then they wrap up the season at Purdue on Saturday, who you mentioned just came off of a bad loss to Ohio State yesterday. What does a 2-0 week tell you this week for Wisconsin?
A 2-0 week tells me that I don't care what happens in the Big Ten tournament, they're ready for the NCAA tournament. You know, like 20 games in the Big Ten is tough. Like even looking around other leagues, they're still playing 18 like regular season games. Now there's God knows how many teams in the Big Ten now.
A lot. More than 10.
Very much more than 10. Where, you know, it's a grind. Playing 20 conference tournament games is a grind where I think the deeper teams have like the advantage. You see Michigan running away with this. They're deep as hell. Now, are they as deep as hell? LJ Kaysen, their stud freshman, just tore his ACL doing a pass between his legs and his knee buckled. And he probably wishes he wasn't showboating in that moment because he's a very important piece to them. But that was a team with a ton of depth with like they bring in guys off the bench and they don't miss a beat. The Badgers can bring in Braden Carrington and not miss a beat. Is that it now? Right? Who else do they have from a depth standpoint that you can bring in and feel really confident about?
Yeah, I mean, Jack Chernicki was a fun story, but do you really want him on the floor?
I think he didn't hurt you.
Right.
Right? Like, so now you're trying to figure out who comes in off the bench and you feel confident. Like, I think it was Hayden Jones came in and made a couple mistakes and got pulled right away. I know Zach Kinzinger's got time, but I think he's going to be behind Braden Carrington because if you're going to go to a guard, you're going to go to a guy who can shot, make, and score. And even if Zach Kinzinger was better at defense, which I'd say he'd probably have a better opportunity to play 10 years ago, you know, with the way the Badgers played. But right now, like the reason why I talked about their efficiencies jumping in as a total team from, you know, 53 to, you know, 52 to 23 up 29 spots in analytics is because they're an offensive driven team.
Yeah.
So who can provide that spark offensively and not ruin the flow and make you go, oh crap. Like even if Braden has two fouls, you're going back in because we can't trust anyone else now.
Yeah, your point's right. The way they've tightened up that rotation, it's really only those six guys. And then you see a little bit of Janicki and a little bit of Jones off the bench.
Well, no Janicki.
What does a 0-2 week tell you this week? Maryland Wednesday at Purdue.
It won't happen. I'm not going to talk about things that won't happen. They're going to beat Maryland at home.
I'd hope so.
There's no I hope so. They're going to beat Maryland. I don't know.
1-1 week is kind of what you expect, right?
Yes. Beating Purdue is icing on the cake. And then next thing you know, you're sitting in this 7 seed. Can you get to a 6 seed and then play a 3 seed in the second round? So you're not having to beat, you know, anyone who might follow that 2 line that's in the 1 line or vice versa. I feel like it's very top heavy. Like once you get to 3 and beyond, you can make some strong arguments that you could pretty much match up and feel confident to beat anybody on the 3 line. So I want them to get to a 6 line. I do. 7 seed playing 10 seed. I'm not worried about 10 seed. I think they get it done.
Are you worried about the 2?
I'm worried about a 2 or a 1. That's why I started this by looking back of like, I know they were figuring out how to like win and define roles, but finding 1 or 2 more wins early on gets you solidly with their really strong quad one road wins against Illinois and Michigan as like, well, they're obviously a 5 seed.
Fair enough. A couple of wins in the Big Ten tournament could certainly help their case there. Weird weekend in college basketball.
But by the way,
so
they're not going to have the double bye, which means they'd have to win 4 games.
Right.
They win 1 game, then they're playing Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They win that game. Tournament's pretty much already set on Saturday, as much as the NCAA committee wants to act like
they tell you it's not, right?
Yeah, they have their like options if things happen, but
Did you see that big debate on Twitter a couple weeks
I
ago?
did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bracket's set on Saturday.
Pretty much. Pretty much. It would take, it basically takes like one of the teams that's not supposed to win to steal a bid for it to
Like if
change
Ohio State
dramatically.
won the Big Ten
And they're
tournament,
not going to.
right? Exactly. Exactly. So, interesting. We will see next week when the Big Ten tournament gets underway. Weird weekend overall in college basketball. The really good teams separated themselves, right? Duke beats a ranked Virginia team by 26. Virginia beats Kansas by 23. Michigan beats number 10 Illinois.
Virginia does not beat Kansas. Arizona beats
Or
Kansas.
excuse me, Arizona beats Kansas. Thank you. Michigan beats Illinois by
Did you have
14.
coffee yet? What's going on with
I've
you?
only had two
Take
sips.
a third. Come on. There we go. All right, now he's going to get it
I was
right.
just reading fast. All right. Duke over Virginia, Arizona over Kansas by 23, Michigan by over Illinois by 14,
Dominant fashion, too.
Houston over Colorado by 40.
Colorado
Colorado
stinks.
stinks, but
Houston
still.
actually had lost three in a row at one point.
Right.
So getting them off the schneid, and that the team,
They're some
I don't
good.
want to see Calvin Sampson's teams at all.
Never in March. Florida beats Arkansas
Florida's one of the best teams
by
in the country.
34 points.
Florida's one of the best teams in the country right now.
No
They're
doubt.
the hottest team. I would say them and Michigan are the two best teams. For some reason, I can't buy Duke. I can't.
Really?
I know they beat Michigan on the neutral
Yeah.
site. I don't think they are that good.
What gives you pause with Duke, the number one team in the country?
Right now, the ACC is so weak.
It is.
The ACC is so weak that I think if Duke was in the Big Ten, they'd be sitting very similarly to like a Purdue, to a Michigan State in terms of losses. I think they've lost one game in conference play, and that was UNC. Obviously, at UNC, after Seth Trimble hit a right corner three to end that, and then John Shire and the coaching staff was upset because there was time on the clock and people rushed, and a lot of court storming chaos this year. Fred Hoiberg's hitting phones out of Iowa players fans' hands. So again, I just don't think that Duke would, in the Big 12 or the Big 10, be knocking off these wins in the way that they do. Like beating Virginia by 30 at home, I don't know if Virginia is the second best team in the ACC. You take the second best team in the Big 10 and put them at Cameron Indoor, they're not just getting throttled by 30. That is my opinion. Now, I know they have the neutral site win over Michigan,
Yep, and
but
that was a big one.
it was a big one. But I'm talking about if you're in that 20 game conference schedule like the Big Ten is, I don't see Duke winning every game except one.
Yeah, right. And
They're, you know, Michigan was able to do so throughout the course of the season. Then they ran into a team that they lost to, but like, I'd love to see who Duke was playing and what their strenuous schedule looked like before heading into Michigan.
I can pull that up, but I do want to ask you about Cameron Boozer because he's one of, if not the best freshman in the country. You think he's a good enough player to make some noise in the tournament? Because
Yeah.
you're a non-believer in
Yeah,
Duke, but
like
I'm curious if you believe in him.
he's really, really, really good. I don't see him as that like dominant takeover and like I don't know. I don't see him as like I'm gonna take them to the Final Four.
Okay.
Now they do have some pieces back that were part of a Final Four team last year, Caleb Foster and whatnot. But like I don't know. Just have me on record, not a Duke believer for March.
I will say this. So before conference play started, they had Arkansas, Florida, and Michigan State. However, they all, and Kansas, but they also had Western Carolina, Army, Indiana State, Niagara, and Howard. So certainly some gimmies. Lipscomb in there as well.
What about that conference schedule, right? Like look at their conference schedule.
I mean,
Who
it's.
stands out as like, man, Duke went on the road and really beat a tough team.
Louisville, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Like that your
Clemson.
Louisville's like a 6 seed. Clemson's a 9 seed.
That's probably the end of the list. And obviously, the Michigan win.
Versus you have Illinois sitting at a 2 seed. You have Nebraska as a 3 seed. Michigan State around a
But
four.
what
Purdue
about.
around four. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's so
Yeah,
much
but
more depth in the Big Ten.
Saturday's win is good, though, right? Virginia?
Yeah, at
Isn't that
home they were
probably what, a
10-point
4 seed?
favorites. They took care. But again, the second best team in that conference is a 4 seed,
Yeah.
versus where you have a boatload of teams from 2 seeds to 5 seeds in the Big
That's
Ten.
true.
Whereas like, I like battle tested. I want to know what like you've been through throughout the course
So,
of the conference play if I'm going to trust you in March.
all that said, which conference do you believe in most to bring a national champion?
Oh man, that's crapshoot. I mean, like, there's odds right now that are kind of fun to bet on in terms of like the national champion and the
Yeah.
NCAA is going to come from what conference.
I mean, to your point, it feels like
The
this
Big
could
Ten,
be the Big Ten's
the
year
Big Ten,
handling.
the Big Ten, and the Big
Big 12.
12 are the odds-on favorites to those. The SEC gets a bad rap in basketball. They pump out Final Four teams.
They
They
do.
do. So even though Arkansas got their brakes beat off by Florida, again, I wouldn't want to see Arkansas. Acuff is a stud as a freshman. They're super athletic. Outside of that win, they've been playing some of their best basketball recently.
Alabama's playing really good basketball.
I don't buy
You
Alabama.
never do that.
No, I do. I don't buy, like, Alabama went to the Final Four 2 years ago,
Right.
but this team is not good. In the Final Four standard of Nate Oates having a Final Four team.
I was going to ask, I mean, because he's one of the best coaches in the country, in my opinion. And that's where,
They can score,
yeah.
but they did have a big win against Tennessee. But again, Tennessee is not the Tennessee of 2 years ago, and even last year, where they had Ziegler there for his sixth year and Chaz Lanier, who could like take over a game as a scorer for them. Florida is the best, playing the best basketball of any team in the country right now. I think they've won 12 of the last 13.
So it sounds like SEC might be your answer. Beat
No,
Florida.
I'm gonna go Big Ten. I will.
It finally feels like their year. It could be.
I don't buy Michigan State, but I do think Michigan and Illinois are very, very good
Yeah.
teams. And Illinois is gonna try and figure out how to play again with getting Boswell back. He's kind of their like their rock, their
Yeah.
leader, their defensive guy. They have tons of talent. As I played in Lithuania professionally, like they're the Eastern Europeans of college basketball. They have like seven of them. So they're very polished, skilled. Underwood's a great coach in March. So hasn't been as much in Illinois, but he's got experience, obviously, in prior years, Stephen F. Austin and others.
Let's fly through the Big Ten. I want you to say something nice about a lot of the programs that'll make the tournament. You ready? Rapid
Yeah.
fire. Michigan.
They're awesome. They're awesome. Like they're just awesome. Johnson is an absolute stud. If you watch him dunk on people, his motor's amazing. Yaxel is so smooth. Elliot Gaudreau runs the team. You got McKinney coming off the bench, even with Kaysen down. I love their depth. I know Kaysen's hurt, but Gaudreau can. He's gonna play 30 to 35 minutes, and it'd be nice to have Kaysen off the bench, but. It's not like they lost a like Texas Tech lost their best player in JT Toppin, eliminated from having a chance to win a national title, which they could have with him. Michigan's deep enough that they can sustain that injury and overcome it.
Big time Michigan believer Benny Bruss. Nebraska.
They need to win a tournament game. I don't think I can't tell. I might not think they've won a tournament game in like 20 years or even
It's been a
ever.
long time.
Double check that one. Sanford's really good. Hoiberg is starting to feel like he's got a team, like he was at Iowa State, where he brought in some guys. Mass, their big guy, is really solid. Hoiberg does all the little things. Like, I see them winning one or two games, but I don't think they have the horses to make a deep run.
That's good because they've never won a tournament game. They are
That's what I thought.
they are the only power conference team
They're
to
gonna
ever
win
win.
one this year.
Yeah, they will. Connor Sejan, though, not playing. It's too bad.
He was like the sixth man, seventh
I
man,
know.
anyways.
He played, what, three games before he got hurt, I think.
Yeah. I'm saying, even last year, too.
Right. Michigan State, you said you're not really a believer in them.
I'm
And
not.
this is a say something nice segment.
Love their size. I like Jaxson Kohler and Carson Cooper playing together as bigs, but Fears is their only real guard. Cohen Carr's exciting to
He's
watch,
interesting.
but like, he's kind of a liability offensively. Like you could, if you find a good defensive team, they'll play him right. They'll keep him in front of them. They'll make him shoot threes. They'll block him out, and they won't let him get those highlight changing plays. I just don't think they're skilled enough offensively to make a run.
You just commented on Brad Underwood, Illinois.
Wagler's a stud. I hate relying on a freshman as your star player who's like 6'1", 6'2". get a 6'5 guy to guard him, keep him in front a little bit, make him take tough shots. But their team overall, they have a lot more than him. I'd say I don't love them, but I like them a lot.
Elite Eight good?
Yes.
Yeah. Purdue and Matt Painter.
Frauds this year.
That's not very nice.
They are. Braden Smith's been there 18 years. Fletcher Loyer's been there 18 years. Wren's kind of had like a okay season. Like, yeah, they have all this experience, and they did go to the Final Four a couple years back. But I don't know. They just can't seem to put it together. I really like their young wing Cox. I feel like every time they need him to make a big three, he does. But their horses are... they're not as dominant as they should be for how much experience they have.
So,
and they've lost more games at Mackey than I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's happened several times this year. Now, the one nice thing I'd say about them is they have several Brad Davison replacements. Several. Right?
In what way?
Guys that have been there forever.
Okay, I was getting like Brad's a very specific type player, so I didn't know if you're going for player comp, Brad Davison won one tournament game his entire career.
Really? I didn't realize that. I guess that makes sense.
Colgate at Five Surf.
Oh, wow. And that was the year they lost to Iowa State, right?
Correct.
Yeah, wow. And he got hurt in that game. Johnny Davis did. That's right. Two left, Iowa. What do you make of them?
Great defensive team. Really great story. Great turnaround in 1 year. Great point guard in Sturts, but maybe win one game. I don't believe in them. They don't have enough, like, outside of their point guard.
We wrap with you saying something nice about your alma mater, the Wisconsin Badgers.
Based off the way that they've beat good teams, they're just a team I wouldn't want to play in the tournament.
Okay. You're holding the belief despite the loss at Oregon last week. But
yeah, why would I hold Oregon in my head when I've seen them go
beat Michigan State, beat Illinois, beat Michigan?
Michigan State, I expected them to win. I don't actually put that.
You were there? You attended?
No. I literally was I was talking to Joe Krabenhoff. You know, and he does all the scouts, lot of the scouts. So he, like, when you do a scout for, like, let's go inside an assistant coach at the University of Wisconsin. We used to have a lot of different assistants do different games and different scouts for different teams. It seems like, obviously, with the way they're set up, that there's more recruiting, there's more player development. One coach takes on a lot of the main scouts of studying the tendencies. And so I think Joe had Michigan State when I saw him when we went to the Howard Moore premiere on Thursday when they played Michigan State the next Friday. And he's like, I was very confident in telling him. I was like, you guys are going to beat the crap out of them. They're not offensively talented enough to keep up with you. He goes, yeah, I got to tell Gardo to get more possessions. And, you know, I was like, yes, you, like, coming from a guy that played in the let's be efficient with our possessions, get as many possessions as you can as possible against them, because they will not keep up with you, and they did not keep up with the Badgers. So prognosticated that one well.
You're a genius. That's why we have you here on March Mode with Ben Brust. We will do this twice a week through the end of the NCAA tournament.
That's it? We're done?
We're just getting our bearings, baby. We're just getting started.
Send questions. I love questions. Where are we going to send questions to?
I would pop them in the YouTube comments.
Pop them in the YouTube comments. We'll go back and look at them, and anything you want to know, we'll give you.
Ben Brust, the expert on March. You won more than one tournament game in your time. That's for sure.
Freshman year, didn't play much, but we did go to the Sweet 16, lost to Butler in New Orleans, had a great game in the round of 32, all 13 points in the second half against Vanderbilt to go to the Sweet 16 against Syracuse. Had three threes against that massive zone. It felt like I scored 18 points. I don't know how we lost that game still with the percentage we shot against that zone. Did lose the first round game.
That was Ole Miss, right?
Against Ole Miss. And then obviously made it to the final.
Your year was all right.
Yeah, Sweet 16, Final Four is what I got from a four-year standpoint.
You were pretty good in this month.
I was really good my senior year, but I guess maybe as part of this, if anyone wants to relive what I painfully made myself watch in the Kentucky loss of 2014.
Nobody wants to talk about that, Ben.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it was an unbelievable run going American. I think we went on a 40-13 run.
Dude, that game was hilarious.
And then obviously beating Oregon at the Brantley Center, beating the crap out of Baylor after they won by 30 against Creighton in the Sweet 16 to a thriller against Arizona for Bo's first Final Four appearance. And then playing as well as we did, but not getting dominated on the boards by their athleticism is kind of something I'm scared of from other teams that this Badger team can face with Biliauskas down low. And Rapp is a really good scorer, but like against like really big, strong, athletic guys, I worry about the Badgers against athletic bigs. Like Michigan State was so one-dimensional that you could plan for their bigs. I worry about like those Arkansas's of the world where like you think back to BYU. Even though BYU's big man is not super skilled, he was really strong and really athletic, and you could see his dominance. So there's a couple of types of styles of teams I don't want to see the Badgers match up with, which we will break down as March Mode continues here with Ben Brust and Alex Strofe.
Yeah, that's a good way to close it out. We will be back with you later in the week right here on March Mode.